Happy Monday.
Steve, hey man, how you doing?
Hey, happy Monday.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hi, I'm Siobhan Sarna, founder of SIBO SOS and the author of Healing SIBO, which has been on sale for under 16 bucks on Amazon for about a week now, which is super cool. So grab it because it really will help, I promise. And there's some great recipes in there. That being said, my special guest today is Steve Wright. He is by trade of a previous lifetime, an engineer. And Steve has done more for educating people about their gut health online than most people in the space. He was one of the pioneers with his SED lifestyle platform. And I'll never forget being in Colorado with you, Steve, and with Jordan, and someone was saying, like, I don't know, are they really interested in gut health? And you said, or Jordan said, well, think about it. We're teaching people about gut health from a book called, from Elaine, what is it?
The Breaking the Vicious
Cycle. And we have like millions of people interacting with us every month, and it's about a book. And yes, more to it than that. But, and she was like, oh, okay, I can do this. It made me feel really like happy, like niching down is okay. SIBO, niche, fine, done. Let's get it out there. So Steve, you did not want to start a supplement company. I know that because I've known you for so long now, but sometimes you have to go and do it yourself if you want something done right. And you don't make a bazillion, you just make a few. And today we're here to educate everybody about magnesium. And then we'll talk a little bit about the one that you made and why. But Steve, first off, and I know the answer to this already, it's a setup. Can you test to see how much magnesium levels we have in our body?
Yeah, I mean, so the answer is you can test. The better question that we should be asking, and this is the issue with a lot of medicine, is asking great questions, not just available questions. But the question should be actually, should we rely on the test results to make any changes in our like health or right. in our daily lives? And the answer that I have come to is the commercially available tests do not correlate with body stores of magnesium. And that is kind of a shocker to me because I was trained in functional medicine and everybody uses magnesium RBC, which is red blood cell count. And that was like, you know, if like 8 years ago or 5 years ago, sometimes like if you told somebody to not test their magnesium serum, which is just blood levels, and you do RBC testing, you were like, whoa, that person's ahead of the curve. They know what they're talking about.
Fringy.
Yeah. But now there's plenty of studies. And in fact, there's one study that shows that, for instance, the average body stores around 24,000 milligrams of magnesium, and bones are 53% of that, muscles 27%, and then other tissues such as like the liver and the GI tract and all kinds of other organs is another 19%. My point being is that the blood comprises less than 1% of that 24,000 milligrams. And there are conflicting data in the research suggesting, there's not really strong correlation suggesting that serum or magnesium RBC can say, oh, someone's actually, that number actually correlates to this amount of bone or this amount of heart or this amount of muscle magnesium. And so we can test for it. And there's also urine testing, which is also commercially available. The problem with urine testing is there's studies on this one that are even less reliable than the blood test. And so at this point in time, we can go into a bunch of risk factors on who could be low, who could be burning extra magnesium, things like this. But even the tests themselves appear inadequate to determine whether or not you have enough magnesium in the organs and the bones that you actually need it.
All right. What do we do about it? And then I know we'll get into motility and stuff, but guys, the closed caption is working on my screen, Kevin, it's down at the very, very bottom. So what do we do about it, Steve? And how much like, do you think we should be shooting for? And I know we're also going to talk about the different types because there's a lot of questions about that.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting magnesium wars is kind of what I'm calling it.
I know. I love it.
Out there. So what was the first question?
The first question is, so what do we do about it? So do we guess? Do we just hope for the best? Can we take too much?
Yes, you can take too much. It's really pretty rare though. But there is something called hypermagnesia or too much magnesium. So with everything in the body, nothing, you know, there's hypervitamin D, there's hypercalcium, you know, supplements can build up in the system. And so, you know, you should be aware that these things can build up. So you can take too much, but it's pretty rare for magnesium. You do excrete a lot of it through the urine that you don't need, which is helpful. So if you're drinking alcohol, if you have celiac disease, if you have Crohn's or other inflammatory bowel issues, much of magnesium is basically absorbed in the ileum in the small intestine. So if you have sort of issues that would complicate your ability to absorb magnesium, you're at a increased risk of being low. If you exercise and sweat a lot, maybe your sauna, you know, doing a lot of saunaing, you could be losing extra magnesium. So there's a lot of risk factors. Most of them are chronic disease related. So if we look at heart disease, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, there's studies that show that by taking magnesium, you help with these conditions, which would also indicate that people who have those conditions are low in magnesium. It's one of these things where it might be more prevalent of a mineral or vitamin or nutrient deficiency than vitamin D. I'm not sure. It could be. Like the studies suggest, there's papers out there that even say, look, if someone is acting like they're low magnesium, but their magnesium serum markers are normal, treat them as if they have low magnesium, because we keep seeing people with low magnesium symptoms who improve when given magnesium. And that is the key right there, which is, how do you feel when you take a given product at a certain dose? And a lot of people don't want to, you know, be all intuitive about things. They want data, they want numbers, but a lot of medicine is an art. And of course, we're not practicing medicine today, but just so you know, a lot of medicine is an art, and how you feel really does matter. And so at a basic level, what we're going to talk about today is all the pros and cons, who's at the risk, who's not. It's going to come down to you trialing different dosages and different types of magnesium, and your body and how you feel will hopefully let you know, what you should be doing long-term.
Which is a relief. I mean, that's great. I like that, because it's not overly dangerous to try and to take. And what are some of this? Is there like a list of symptoms for people who have low magnesium?
Well, magnesium now has been shown to contribute to 600 different enzyme reactions. It used to be 300, now it's 600. So it's basically used almost everywhere. It's used extensively in the Krebs cycle, which is how you make energy. There are studies showing that low magnesium status decreases your ability to make brush border enzymes, so disaccharide enzymes. So people who struggle with carbohydrates, vegetables, things like this, that's a potential sign. People who have dysbiotic microbiomes, there's studies that suggest that low magnesium could be implicated in that. As I said, low magnesium status is correlated with every sort of GI inflammation symptom or disease or syndrome out there. So if you have GI inflammation, that's also a good sign that you're low magnesium. But there's studies for blood pressure, type 2, you know, diabetes, like blood glucose control, people who are having mood disturbances like anxiety, depression. So there's lots of, almost anywhere you look, there's studies testing magnesium for a certain condition and generally finding some improvement.
So a couple of questions that I have for you. Could you please let me know of kind and how much of magnesium would you recommend for chronic pain, fibromyalgia? What's the max dosage? What's the best brand to buy, et cetera? So do you want to do the different types right now?
Sure. Okay. So there's one extra study that they use in laboratories that is considered the gold standard. I don't want to do it on myself, and I don't think most people listening to this want to do it. It's called a radioisotope study. And what they do is they attach radioactive isotopes two magnesium compounds, and then they give them to people, and then they can measure, where does that magnesium go? Does it go in the toilet? Does it go in the bones? Does it go in the muscle? By actually doing like a scan and figuring out where the radioactivity is. So that is like the gold standard of where, when you take oral magnesium, where does it end up? Does it actually get in the body? Where does it go? And the majority of the tests done are not this kind because of the potential issues with radioactivity, as well as the costs of doing that type of test. But fascinatingly, here's what I've seen in the literature. Magnesium oxide is absorbed around 21%. Almost every single type of magnesium, if we're just talking about magnesium, it's basically absorbed between like 21 and 24, 25%. So that includes magnesium glycinate, orotate, citrate, all of them. In a way, it suggests that there is no bioavailability advantage, I don't think. It's actually more about the agent that it's chelated to or bonded to. And that extra molecule is what causes the runs, you know, the poop explosions that some people don't want, but other people do want. From some people get very activated by certain forms like malic acid. Other people find a lot of relief and anti-anxiety with glycinate and sleep improvement, so glycine. So there's taurate, so people find energy in that. It may be more about that compound that's attached than it is about the, you know, the bioavailability being all that much better.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So let's just start out with this. And I know you just touched on it, but if someone's constipated, we get this a lot in the Facebook group. Hello, Facebook group, which is, okay, what's the best thing to do for constipation and what's a reasonable dose? And Dr. Seebecker always says, you know, if it's not working for you, chances are you can use a little bit more, right? So what's your take on that?
Well, magnesium oxide is the one that's been most studied in the literature. And that includes, you know, the quote unquote ozonated magnesiums out there as well. People are going to ask about that. It's the same group, kind of the same compound. I feel like those are like sledgehammers. And like, look, constipation is a really wide scale. Some people are like, you know, stuck on enemas. They might have to go to the hospital for impacted stool. That's a totally different use case than someone who's having mild constipation and is like annoyed that their belly is slightly bloated and their pants don't fit. Right. Or who's looking for slightly softer stools or trying to get a Bristol number 4. Totally different use case. So if you're very constipated and you're struggling, magnesium oxide will be the most violent of the various types. If you overdose magnesium oxide, but even 100 milligrams or so, I mean, if your gut is a little sensitive, you can spend hours on the toilet, you know, having an explosion. For other people, they're so constipated that they need, you know, 500, 1,000 milligrams or something like that. Magnesium citrate is like the next one. So if oxide's a sledgehammer, citrate's kind of like a really heavy hammer, like a, you know, that type of giant contractor, 6'5" guy, you know, he's got a huge hammer. He can go out there. Yeah. Lumberjack style. Okay. Citrate is a little bit less intense on the gut. And you can mess up the dosage by 100 or 200 milligrams, and you'll have some runniness, but you won't actually, you know, have an explosion. If you do go outside that window of 200 milligrams, I've had it, and I know a lot of other people have had it where they're like, that does not work for my gut, and I'm on the toilet for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. The one that I recommend that is the most tolerable for, especially for sensitive guts and for mild constipation, is the glycinate form. So magnesium glycinate. And the reason why is you have a very big safety factor. You can go 400, 500 milligrams, sometimes over, and not have an explosion. Instead, you'll just have softer stools. It doesn't have as much pulling of water into the gut that the other ones do. And again, I think it's more about the chelated agents and what they're doing to the gut than it is about the magnesium and what it is doing. At this point in my understanding, both using these compounds on myself, using them with other people, and then researching them deeply. And so my, you know, point of view is if you can use glycine or magnesium glycinate to get a softer stool, start there. If you can't get what you're looking for, then escalate from citrate to oxide. And if it's, you know, a medical emergency, go seek medical attention. This is not medical advice. But one of the things they will give you at the hospital, if you, you know, if you've already, or if you don't need an enema, they'll give you an enema and then they'll tell you to take mag oxide going forward. So that is very common in the elderly populations. So I don't know if that kind of explains that the other types of magnesium aren't really considered sort of what you would use for constipation. They're kind of more advanced. They're typically cost more money as well. So I wouldn't play with them.
Okay, let me just ask you. So glycinate is the first, then escalating to citrate, and then escalating to the
oxides or ozonated oxides.
Okay. So it's GCO. That's the way I'm going to remember it from now on. So GCO, that's your escalation pattern. Sidebar that for a second, because that's just about constipation. We need magnesium in our diet and, you know, in our lives. And these other magnesiums that you're about, you know, you were just talking about, like, don't use these for constipation. But what are the names of those other magnesiums that are good for other things in the body? And what are those good for?
So taurate or magnesium taurate, which is bound with taurine. So that one's considered cool for, or good for, like, your brain, for your blood. If you look into the research on taurine, it improves nitric oxide, things like this. So again, is it the taurine or is it the combo? I don't know. Malic or malic acid, magnesium malate is another one, a more advanced one. People find that one can give some people energy. And my question is, are they low in malic acid? Or, you know, if they just took it alone, would it be better? Magnesium threonate is a really cool one that's been studied for the brain. It's considered to, I believe, cross the blood-brain barrier. I would say it's probably the most expensive of all the magnesium compounds. I took it for a while. I thought it was cool. The research seemed cool. I don't seem to notice the benefit. I get more benefit brain-wise from magnesium glycinate than I do threonate. And so that's where I think it comes back to, you know, testing and checking and trying to figure out what does your body most respond to.
So S Private is saying GCO acronym, get constipation out. I like it. Right. Glycinate, citrate, oxide. Okay. I like that a lot. A couple of questions here. What are your thoughts on magnesium hydroxide for constipation? Hey, Helen.
Hydroxide is an oxide. So it's the O.
It's
it's just a form of oxide. So for instance, the magnesium that we came out with is magnesium, pure magnesium glycinate. And I found a study on Crohn's patients who had a surgery where they resized the small intestine. So they had a shorter ileal section. So therefore their chances of being able to absorb magnesium were already significantly reduced. And what they found was that the bioavailability was only 1% higher between magnesium oxide and magnesium glycinate, which is actually opposite of what I thought and what I was taught, and opposite of what everyone else is saying out there, that the bioavailability really matters. But what was really important in this study was that of the patients, many of them had the super oxidative reactions and flushing due to the oxide. So they had the diarrhea and therefore they couldn't absorb it. And so there was a bunch of people who were very sensitive to magnesium oxide who couldn't actually take it. And then of the people who took glycinate, they basically all absorbed it the same. Whereas the magnesium oxide, they had all these variances. So some people who needed it couldn't absorb it. And so that's why I went with glycinate, because for me, it's the magnesium for sensitive stomachs, frankly. It's also the one that,
There you go. So I had the oxide and I have the ozonated fancy pants, you know, and then I have a lot of magnesium. I have the Calm. What's Calm?
It's citrate.
Citrate. But I'm not good at like taking things to drink before I go to bed, because I'm just afraid I'm going to have to get up and pee, and that's a whole thing. So what I really like about it is quite gentle. Like, you're not going, like, you don't wake up in the morning and go, oh, I had a lot of magnesium last night before I went to bed. You're like, oh good, I went, but so I find it to be super, super gentle. And I'm taking any, I take it with my, my Prokinetic, and which I do Resilor, it's called Motegrity in the United States. And then I'm doing three of these, and they're 360 per two capsules. Okay, so I'm not even doing that much, Steve. Two capsules is 360 milligrams. Yeah,
correct.
That's nice. That's really nice. So you guys, I put a coupon in the, and links in the chat. Can anyone see it? The chat's apparently disabled. I did look at Zoom while Steve was talking. I didn't mean to be rude if my eyes were going everywhere, but I was trying to, but I don't know if you can see it. So I put it then as an answer to one of the Qs in the Q&As. So I don't know if you can see it there. And yes, thank you. Thanks, Amy. Okay, great. Yes, we have it. Thanks. Yay. One thing I just want to say about the links, and you're getting a discount on anything you want from Steve's line, which includes the Holoimmune, which we did a webinar on last time, and the we've done webinars on all of this, including Holozymes, my favorite digestive enzyme, is the discount is taken at checkout. So every time we do this, and we get a couple of emails saying there's no discount, it's taken automatically at checkout. So just FYI. Okay, great. I don't even think you need a code. I think it's just use that link. You can see that I'm calling it a coupon, which is kind of dangerous. Your formula, Steve, works for motility issues. True or false, Steve?
Yes, it does. Yeah. But again, you're going to have to take maybe a little bit more. You might need to take three or four capsules for motility related issues. But as you kind of alluded to, the differences will be based on your body and what you're looking for. Magnesium glycinate at like four capsules a day is going to create like a softer, more natural poop expression. I don't know what else to say. Toilet experience. Magnesium citrate is going to be next level up from that, where it could be some urgency, but slight urgency, and you might feel pretty evacuated. Magnesium oxide can feel like a full flush that, you know, some people are like, oh, wow, I feel kind of good. But if you're doing that on a regular basis, you are losing extra nutrients, electrolytes, things like that. I'm not a huge fan of doing that on a regular basis. So it's on a spectrum, and we cannot bucket people on this type of topic. Constipation is too complex to say only this form or only this idea.
Exactly. So when you're saying, so Bertie's saying, I'm glad you're here, Bertie, because Bertie's saying that magnesium is very confusing to Bertie. I get it. That's why we're doing this. And there is a lot of confusion about it. You talk about low magnesium. Is that one kind of magnesium, or is it all forms of magnesium that is low?
Low magnesium in the blood or body?
And he's kind of saying, is it true? Like you're saying, like, that's not even really an overly valid way of determining whether or not you have an appropriate level.
Look, if you do a blood serum test, magnesium serum test, or a magnesium RBC test, and you're low, then that's like, I mean, that's sort of like a sick population that doesn't necessarily correlate to organ levels. And you'd probably want to get that into the high upper high range, in my opinion. If you're pegged at the upper end of the range for both those tests, then maybe you're good. If you're like significantly out of bounds, maybe you need to cut back on your use of magnesium for constipation, use other prokinetics, use vitamin C, maybe use a mild laxative of some type. So, you know, they can be useful tests only for yourself over time, if that makes sense. Like if you have signs and symptoms of magnesium deficiency, and you run a test and it's at like 6 or 5, let's say it's on 5 for a magnesium RBC. And then you start supplementing and you feel better at 7 and you feel better at 8. 8 is now above the reference range, usually for a mag RBC test, but you feel really good, just stay there. But if you keep using that same dosage and you test again in a year and you're at 10, then cut back the dosage because you might be driving that too high. And there might be other ways for you to modify your symptomology, if that makes sense. So it's more about individual data points on yourself than it is about what one data point every 3 years means for your entire health picture.
Cynthia's asking, any place to go and comments also on magnesium supplementation in pregnancy? Again, not medical advice. Please talk to your doctors. But any, do you have any resources for this type of thing for pregnant folks?
No, I really don't. I mean, that's not my area of expertise, and yep, I tend to stay away from pregnancy.
Thank you. Most people do. So I, there you go. Better say, you know who I do love for pregnancy stuff is Carolyn Ladowski. So it's spelled exactly the way you would imagine. It's Ladowski. I don't know. Ledowsky is her last name. Don't know if it's showing up in the chat, but she has a brilliant website for people who are pregnant and trying to get pregnant.
Yeah. So, I also know that, you know, Jolene Brighton does some work on this. Yes. And so does a friend of mine. I think her name's Sarah Sandy. So she also does a lot of nutrition and supplements for pregnancy.
Is it true that only having a BM after coffee means you are constipated? What if it causes loose stools? I don't think that that's what that means, does it?
I don't know that I wouldn't draw those conclusions, yeah. But you would definitely be able to say that coffee is an irritant to your gut and you may be better off without coffee going forward.
You're maybe relying on it to go, right?
So right, which coffee is an irritant and so is caffeine. So coffee, the coffee is a really complex molecule, just like chocolate and wine and all the really good, delicious stuff in the world. So I've looked intensely into this, figuring out if I should be or shouldn't be drinking coffee. Yeah. And what you can do is buy some caffeine pills, buy some 100-milligram caffeine pills, stop taking your coffee and just take a pill in the morning, which is about equivalent to a cup of coffee, and see if you get the same effect. If you do, then you know it's more about the caffeine for your body than it is about the type of coffee, because the coffee can have mycotoxins. It can have all these different things. Dark can affect people more than light. So
That's a good question. That's a good little test. Okay. So this is the magnesium that Steve created. It is bisglycinate. Go ahead and explain what that is, and then just an idea on where to start. Then I've got more questions for you.
Yeah. So what, why would you even buy ours? Ours is the only product on the market that I'm aware of that has zero fillers, zero flow agents, zero anything. It's just the gelatin, or it's just the vegan capsule, and then 20% standardized magnesium glycinate from the US. So there are no extra ingredients. There's no preservatives. Yeah. Nothing. Frankly, it's fascinating, but we actually have to have it manufactured in Canada because that's where I found a manufacturer who can do the next part, which is number one, they were able to make it without any extra additives. So it's perfect for sensitive people. And number two, we were able to pack 50% more magnesium into the capsule, magnesium glycinate into the capsule than pretty much all your other standard big time, doctor grade formula. So if you go look at the back of our bottle, it says 360 milligrams per two capsules. That means 180 milligrams per capsule. Almost everybody else has 120 milligrams plus added fillers and flow agents and preservatives. So that's the reason why we ended up making it, is for people with pill fatigue and for people who are very sensitive, because that's kind of what our brand's about, is no extra bullshit, no extra nothing in there.
Exactly. Lee came in late. Lee, we do send out the recording and you can always find it in our Facebook group as well under the media section, which is SIBO SOS community. We're going back to the types of magnesium. Please explain elemental magnesium versus what most labels say that do not specify. It's the elemental that's important, correct, Jan? I don't know. What's element? I've never even heard of that. What's elemental magnesium?
So elemental magnesium means if you take apart the chelated or the bonded agents together, how much magnesium was actually bonded in there. So if they're following FDA protocol and FDA law, the number on the back of the bottle, in our case 360, is the amount of elemental magnesium. And then there's a bunch of glycine attached to that, basically. In other forms, it would be citrate or carbonate or oxide or whatever else. So if it's a high-end manufacturer, they should only be listing what is the amount of magnesium atoms, I guess is what that stands for, elemental, that would be in that dosage.
So sometimes people add a fancy word to something to make it look different than what it is. So I don't know if it was a marketing thing or what, but okay, it is, it means magnesium. So let's, Al is saying, can you buy it in Canada? I know you ship worldwide. And I don't know what the difference is between a horrible duty fee and the postage. So you ship around the world.
Yeah, we ship around the world. Yeah, I mean, we'd have to ask my team. You could send an email to support at Healthy Gut and we can talk you through that. We have, I would say 5% of all our customers are in Canada probably. So we ship there pretty regularly.
So what's the email?
Support at
healthygut.com.
Right. Yep. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. You just never know anymore. You never know. Trisha says her calcium mag supplement says that the mag comes from red algae for her. Have you heard of that?
The calcium comes from it or the magnesium?
No, she's saying that it's the mag comes from red algae. I've never heard of that. I don't know.
Yeah. Again, it's more about what is it bonded to. It doesn't really matter where it comes from.
Okay. So it doesn't matter if it's organic.
Talk
to me about that because that's.
Well, so it's magnesium bound to something. So it's either bound to inorganic compounds, which is chloride, oxide. I think there's one other one, sulfate, magnesium sulfate. Sulfate might be an organic compound, but the organic compounds are typically amino acids. They are glycine, taurine, what else were the other ones? Carbonate. That actually might be on the inorganic side. Sorry, guys. Not super good at 9 in the morning here without a lot of caffeine on board, but we're getting warmed up. Yeah. So what they found in the research is that the absorption ability of the organic, not the label organic or how we raise our food, but the organic chemistry compound, it appears better. But the problem with better is that in perspective of the entire context here, better might only be 1 or 2%. And so that's where I find I was very much like, oh yeah, I want the most bioavailable and I want the best. And I get really wrapped up into that stuff. And to find out that the difference between a cheaper form and like the most expensive form might only be like 2 to 3% was like mind blowing to me. I was like, wow, this is one of those cases where it does appear that literature and science, maybe it's by the companies, maybe not, is doing a bad job at telling us about magnesium and who should use what form and how we should relate to it in our bodies.
Which is why we had so many people register for this webinar. I'm going to go back up to Adrian. I've been plagued with muscle cramps in feet, legs, hands, et cetera, for over a decade. Oh, I'm so sorry. I take minerals, mag, salt, and nothing helps except tonic water. I don't have any medication and drink only water. I get nauseous from it. I'm sure I don't have quinine. I'm really not. Adrian, can you type up the question in a little bit of a different way?
There's been a number of people who have been saying like, what's the best magnesium for pain?
Yes. Yeah.
And so I would, I mean, I'm not the world's expert on pain. So take this with a grain of salt, but from my perspective, when helping people with pain, I would use magnesium as a base layer, kind of like eating organic or low sugar or low gluten. And I would be looking at other things related to neuropathy or something like that. Something maybe like ALA, I think 800 milligrams is used for neuropathy per day. I think there's other agents like PEA. I cannot pronounce PEA, just look it up. It's really huge. That's really cool for pain. Curcumin at 1500 milligrams per day. Most people way underdose curcumin and they use it with black pepper. The majority, like 95% of all the research in the world has been done without black pepper and they show tremendous results. And black pepper is an irritant to the gut. That's so right. Yep. I would grab, I think I used in my own house, I use Jaro 95 right now, which is a 95% extract curcumin. Try 1500, 3000 milligrams of that for pain. So that's where I would go with pain. Boswellia, another great agent for pain. I would not be trying to use, like, as long as you're taking 350 to 500 milligrams of magnesium per day, and it's a magnesium glycinate or a malate or an orotate, or a taurate, then I don't think you're going to limit what you're going to get out of it from a pain related thing.
Adrian's saying, I don't think I have a quinine deficiency. Does quinine lead to cramps? This is not my, I don't know.
Quinine's what's in tonic water.
Right. I guess, but what made you go to tonic water? Or are you just like, oh, it happens to be when I drink tonic water, I don't get cramps. I'm just fascinated by that. So, and I take it you've looked into the whole potassium story. Mary, I've asked this question of a ton of experts and I don't know who to believe. Please advise me on levels of magnesium that might be too high. So we've kind of addressed this, but I do want to read your question, Mary. I have severe nightly leg cramps, making me jump out of bed several times per night for a few years now. I want to just ask you something. Do you have SIBO? Because that can be restless leg. I know, I literally, my heart goes out to you. I had growing pains growing up and it was one of the most excruciating things in my whole life. I don't know. I didn't even have language to call them cramps back then, but I was advised to increase my magnesium and potassium supplementation. Mostly they have diminished to now maybe just occasionally. Good. I'm up to 1200 mg of magnesium dosed throughout the day and have been advised to take it back down to RDA recommendations. Wah, wah. My blood test is up to 1800 and always high. I take organics and also from functional detox, a chelated magnesium capsule supplement. I don't have bowel problems. Great. Help. Is this leg cramping really caused by magnesium deficiency? And how would I know? That's a big one.
The signs and symptoms, what's that?
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
I mean, the signs and symptoms of hypermagnesemia or too much magnesium are like nausea, vomiting, neurological issues, abnormally low blood pressure, flushing, headache. Like you can go look these up I literally just Googled that. I'm not like a crazy expert. Again, this is all informational purposes. If you're concerned, seek attention at an ER, call your general practitioner. I am not your doctor. Siobhan is not your doctor. So if you're having those types of issues, The cool thing about magnesium, especially, is you can just stop taking it for like 5 days and see what happens. As your body depletes it out through the urine, what changes? Do your symptoms improve or not? Do they get worse? These are very good indicators of what you're going after. If someone's already pushing many thousands, I don't know if she said 1800 or 1200 milligrams of magnesium per day, like you're pushing way past the usual study dose is like 500 milligrams. There are studies out there that do like 800 milligrams or 1000 milligrams. So you're not like the highest I've ever heard of by any means, but you are pushing the upper dose of what people have studied. And that's really important to understand. And if you're not getting the stated benefit, so everything you've read and everything you've been told is that magnesium helps for restless leg syndrome, and you're taking more than 1000 milligrams per day for an extended period, meaning more than 3 months, yeah, and you're not seeing the benefit, whatever is causing your restless leg syndrome is not really ever going to be solved by magnesium, in my opinion. You, whatever little benefit you got, and now you need to go search for a different root cause. And that's how I see everything from hydrochloric acid and low stomach acid to magnesium for restless leg syndrome. If you do the protocol at the upper bounds of what most people have seen, you don't get the benefit, then turn around and go in a different direction because you're just going to beat your head against a wall.
Okay. I just popped in. George was asking for the, I don't know if you can see it, for the links again, and I hope you can see it. So can you guys see it in the Q&A, which is like so weird? Or are you seeing it in the chat? Anyone? You'll have to type in the Q&A, and I know it's weird. Sorry. Okay. Huh. Adrian's saying her mother used to be on quinine pills for leg cramps until they took them off the market. Yes, you can see it. Thanks. She got quinine from the tonic water. Interesting. Okay. All right. And we will add all these links to the replay page.
Yeah. And so like I posted, somebody's asking about the bioavailability study. You can just search the internet. It's called bioavailability of magnesium diglycinate versus magnesium oxide patients with ileal resection. I think it's important. People are asking about glycine. Glycine is typically depleted in people with intestinal inflammation. So glycine is important. It's one of the main key amino acids in bone broth. So glycine is important for gut health, and another reason why I chose it. But the cooler thing is how it upregulates glutathione status. Like, it's important for glutathione status, which we all know is extremely important for healing from gut conditions. And I believe a huge part of all IBS or gut-related issues, including SIBO, is the neurological connection to the brain, which usually accompanied by some sort of anxiety, depression, spectrum type issues. And glycine has been shown to help, you know, mildly help with anxiety as well as sleep. And so you can get some ancillary benefits by adding extra glycine in. If you want to test this without the magnesium, go get a pure glycine powder and just take 3 grams or 5 grams and see how you feel. You'd be surprised. A lot of people will feel better, and they wouldn't think it'd be so cheap and so easy to get better sleep or just kind of feel a little better on a regular basis.
What do you think about Epsom salt baths? So could you please talk about how mag glycinate overlaps and differs from mag sulfate? I take Epsom salt baths a few times per week and wonder if I need the different forms of magnesium in my body for optimal function.
So if that's the only way for you to get those extra nutrients, then yeah, you might need extra types. But so magnesium sulfate might be more about your low sulfur. So yes, there's a decent amount of studies that suggest that Epsom salt baths are actually infusing you with sulfur, not really infusing you with magnesium. Right. And that sulfur condition can be very low. Like you might make sulfur in your gut because your body's actually low. Like there's a whole group of gut people who are like, SIBO is just a reaction to a condition inside the gut. We don't want to open that Pandora too much.
No, Dr. Greg Nye does that. Yeah.
Okay. But there is it would make sense that your microbiome shifts. For instance, your microbiome will shift if you're too low magnesium in order to try to find more magnesium. So if you're low sulfur in your cells, you make a bunch of sulfur in your gut, that could be plausible. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I think if Epsom salts help you, it's probably because of the sulfur, and keep doing it. You're not going to get that by taking Epsom salts orally. That's for sure.
So my husband took a series of magnesium baths, also did something else that had a lot of sulfur in it. I can't remember what it is. Broke out in hives. So titrate up on that stuff, you guys. It was definitely too much sulfur for him. So, you know, just titrate up. If you're like, I'm going to take a magnesium bath or, you know, Epsom salt bath, just start slowly and Greg Nye, who wrote the book, The Devil is in the Garlic, which is a very interesting, provocative title. And it's all about sulfur. And you can find that on Amazon. And it's a very interesting alternative thought pattern, big time, but it's all about sulfur. Can any of these forms cause dehydration, dry mouth, and dry skin? Have you ever heard of that, Steve? Any magnesium?
I mean, if you're having loose stools and diarrhea on a regular basis, yeah, for sure. That's why, again, people are asking, like, what happens if I'm not constipated? What's the best magnesium for me? That's why Magnesium HP was created. It is the best for sensitive stomachs, and it's the best for people with loose stools already, because it's not going to cause more of that usually. It has zero fillers, zero flow agents, zero preservatives, so you won't be reacting to those. And it's glycinate, and glycine is typically down regulatory. It's typically soothing, calming, also important for gut, you know, gut brain, gut health, those types of things. So that's why we went with it. Again, if you need more constipation relief, citrate or oxide might be what you need. But I would still move people from either our product or someone else's glycinate product slowly to citrate, and then from citrate to oxide.
If it's not working. And so, right. So start with how much would you say to start with if you have constipation? Just one more time.
I would start with three pills at night.
Okay. Yeah.
You can go up to 6.
Does it make everyone else tired too? Sleepy in a good way. Like, I know I'll sleep really well when I take it. Is that normal?
So this is the key. Other people are asking, like, well, what do I do? Do I just take one that has 7 different forms in it?
I would say
rotate every month and make journal notes. Like, you actually have to take notes because you're not special. I'm not special. Our memories suck. So write it down because you will forget. But what I find is that if you go type by type, not the big spreads of different types, you will feel differently. And so, for instance, with me, I noticed that taking 360 to 500 milligrams of glycinate helps my sleep. It helps me shut off my brain at the end of a day, which I struggle with all the time. And I was taking magnesium threonate because all the studies and all the cool stuff around brain health suggested
Michelle,
that was better.
That's the answer to your question. It's threonate, I think.
Yeah. So it's bonded with L-theanine. So you can also test, you can test, do, you know, some people tell you to take 200 milligrams of L-theanine to relax before sleep. So I was testing L-theanine and I was testing magnesium threonate. And I realized that magnesium glycinate helped me wind down for sleep better than those forms. But other people's brains are different than mine, and you might get a better response from L-theanine or magnesium threonate. And so that's the difference. So if you're, let's say you're chronic fatigue, you're very low energy, try magnesium malate, like 100% malate. It can be very energizing for certain individuals. Same with magnesium taurate. That can also be energizing. You can also just buy taurine powder. L-taurine is an amino acid. You can look at studies for nitric oxide and how if you're low in nitric oxide, you don't feel as good. You don't make as much glutathione. You don't make as much energy. So you could just try like 1,000 milligrams of taurine and see how you feel. So playing with the individual amino acids, it's usually like $10 to $15 to get like a bag of them. They don't often taste great, but if you're this deep into health and you're trying to figure this stuff out, do a little Googling and just, you know, just play with it.
By the way, I think we just sent out the email that has the links in it. So for those of you who haven't easily seen it, and then when we'll send the replay with the video on it, we'll also have the links. What about with or without food? Does it matter?
I don't believe it matters.
Okay. How do you spell theanate? Well,
T-A.
Yeah.
Let me look it up real quick. It's T-H-R-E-O-N-A-T-E.
T-H-E-R-O-N-A-T-E.
Theronate. Oh, yeah, T-H-R-E.
Oh, like the number three, but it's okay.
Yep. All right. Yes, Colleen, some people use magnesium glycinate for winding down their mind, sort of relaxing the mind related to anxiety. Again, it's not an anxiety treatment. You can't say that. It has been shown to help with sleep in studies, but that's it. It's helpful for people like myself who tend to be type A, anxious, can't stop the mind, but it's just part of a plan.
You don't have a facility in Canada. You would be ordering from the United States. Orna's in Canada. It's like, can I get it here? You can, but he has to ship it, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I wanted to, are things safety checked? What was the question? I mean, you can't put, I don't know. Listen, it's made in the Canada, United States. I think you're in very good shape here. I think it's worth a try. And you will be getting the recording. So if you missed anything, what about, a lot of people are asking about migraines. Any support for people with migraines with magnesium?
I mean, magnesium, it has been studied and does seem to help with migraines and headaches. So cool. I didn't prepare for this talk by at the research there, but I think you can take it on a daily basis. So like proactively, but I also think that you can take it as it's setting on potentially to help with that. I wonder if it's related to blood pressure. I'm not real sure there on what the pathway might be. But you know, magnesium, like I said, is literally almost used by everything. It's used everywhere by everything. So being chronically low in it, whatever your genetic weak links are, will express genetically for you. So genetics do matter. Like they're not the end all be all, and they're not your life sentence, but if you give your body less inputs than what it needs for optimal health and you turn on those genes, you will express them. And so if headaches or migraines run in your family, you'll express that. If high blood pressure runs in your family, you'll express that. If cancer runs in your family, you might express that. So, you know, family history, knowing what your mom and dad suffered with, knowing what your grandparents suffered with, is extremely beneficial to helping you lead the healthiest life you can and being aware of, you know, maybe you got, you know, some families need more vitamin D. some families might need more magnesium. And so understanding that kind of stuff can be very helpful.
What do you think about magnesium topically, like the oils that are out there these days and ease and things like that?
Well, from a absorption standpoint, that study on Crohn's patients with the ileal resection showed that magnesium glycinate was well tolerated amongst the entire population of people. So I think I don't think there's a reason that you can't take magnesium glycinate orally and absorb it, even if you have an inflamed gut. In fact, that study showed that you can, and it seems to be beneficial for all sensitive types. However, it's always, what is the extra thing on the label? Chloride. So there's probably a whole group of people who are deficient in chloride, and there's probably a way in which if we put magnesium chloride topically on our skin, just like Epsom salts through the bath, mm-hmm. that we might get chloride into a different area right. of our body, our different cells or something that's not the gut, and it could provide some sort of benefit. So again, it's test and check. If you take it orally and you don't like it, but you put it on topically and you like it, then you don't need anybody else to tell you anything. You have your answer right there.
Right. Seriously, I think that we're coming up on our last 5-6 minutes. But I've tried pretty much everyone. This is me. Everybody's different. Everyone's results are going to vary. I really like it. And Steve did not want to do this session, by the way. He's like, it's my favorite kind. It's for sensitive stomachs. What else are we going to say? I'm like, dude, they have so many questions about magnesium. Believe me. So I'm very glad we've done this one. I really appreciate it, Steve. I would try it. I would go slowly, and, you know, especially if you're sensitive, but know that it is designed with everything Steve's saying in mind, which is sensitive people, sensitive stomachs, sensitive digestive systems. I'm super sensitive, like ridiculous, from all that mold exposure. Plus I was already sensitive because of my liver pathways, but I love it. Like, I was like, no, I really want to talk about this. Like, it's really made a difference for me. And, you know, sometimes I was doing the oxides, the O1, and I have like 3 or 4 forms of that. And it was just such a risk in the morning. I didn't know what it was going to be like. Like, if I had to leave the house soon, was this going to go smoothly in the morning? Was it going to be like, everything's fine? Up, got to go. I mean, it's not fun to run off a Zoom interview to be like, I have to go to the bathroom, excuse me. Like, and they're like, I'm like, have you ever heard of SIBO? Or whatever. I just like, it's awkward, as we all know. So that's why I like it. It's very, feels very under control and very effective. And this makes me feel good. So that's me. It's definitely worth a try.
Yeah, I think that's, so there's a lot of people who've posted all kinds of like different types of magnesiums. Yep. And they're like, hey, what about my brand? The back of my bottle says, you know, 3 different forms or seven different forms. You literally have to do what Siobhan just said. Just buy our product, buy someone else's product, and just test it. Go 5 days on your current one and then go 5 days on the other one and see how you feel. I was surprised that if you've got a 20% standardized magnesium glycinate, there's other companies out there who have the same 20% standardized US source that we have. We were just able to fit more in a capsule and eliminate all the additives. I was surprised that when I dosed that at the same amount as the other ones, that I did feel a difference at night, and my gut was just simpler. Like, poops were just easier and there wasn't any urgency. It wasn't an explosion risk. Things like that. I don't deal well with that. I got to be on camera a lot. I can't just be like, I'm out. I got to go.
Yeah.
So that's where it came from, but that does not mean that it's right for you. So people who are like interested, they're asking about other forms of magnesium, just try it, try the same amount of it and see how you feel. If it helps you think, if it helps you relax, stay with it. You don't need anybody else to tell you anything.
This is the whole thing about like biohacking, right? Is people were, and Steve to me is the original one. Like, they're trying things on themselves and they're obviously, you know, doing all kinds of other things too. But this is the whole concept here. Is it safe overall? I'm just saying that as a disclaimer. We're not doctors. This isn't medical advice, but it's worth a try. And I haven't found a lot of other manufacturers like with this particular combination and cramming so much into one capsule, because I definitely have pill fatigue. And by the time I'm like ready to go to sleep and I don't want to drink a ton of water to like swoosh down a bunch of pills, I like the fact that I can do less of these. It's totally up to you. Steve, what's the return policy in case someone's like, oh my gosh, I have a supplement graveyard. Tell us a little bit about your customer service, your Facebook group. Tell us how you deliver so much extra with everything.
Yeah. So we have health coaches on staff. Many of our team members are actually health coaches. So our goal is to be there for you. If you have questions, like someone just asked, can I open the capsule and put in applesauce? Like that's a normal question for us to get on every Monday or Tuesday. The answer is yes in this case, but not the case for every product we sell. So anyways, we specialize in sensitive people and people who are like super health nerds who are trying to figure this out. So you can send in all your questions. We also have a Facebook group where people are talking about all kinds of random stuff all the time. Our health coaches, myself, are chiming in like once a day, every other day, those types of things to try to help everybody, give you ideas. And then we have a 60-day money back policy. So you can try it for 60 days. We will help you along the way. Like we'll help you with dosages. Maybe you're over or underdosing things. As we talked about here today, the compound matters, the type of magnesium matters, but so does the dosage. Somebody could be one or two pills away from feeling the relief they want in constipation or just in relief or sleep or whatever it might be. And that's literally the difference between you blaming magnesium, you blaming me, Siobhan, whoever, when it was just one or two extra capsules or one or two less capsules. And so that's what we want our team to be there for, is to try to help you work through those things and help you self-test if it's right for you. And if it's not, then, you know, we do return 3-5% of all customers. And that's totally fine.
It's actually low in the industry.
Yeah, it's totally fine with me because look, you tried it and that's what I want. I just want people trying something new. I just don't want them repeating the same mistakes. And right. If it doesn't work, I want you to take the majority of your money and go try the next thing. Because I was in that spot racking up big credit card bills, you know, wondering, should I try this next idea?
Yeah. Which is why we do this and why we also bring you a discount. And Steve, you know, I think we can all relate to that. And I love, Steve, that you are like, ha, people are vulnerable. They're going to be trying anything. That's not where Steve's coming from. And if that was, he certainly would not be on a webinar with Siobhan Sarna. I will tell you that right now. Steve knows, like, I'm super, super, my mother called it picky. I call it selective. There's a difference. Anyway, I am very selective because this is a reflection of my work too. And so I just want to invite you all to try it. Once you do, you'll see the name of the Facebook group. It's all very self-explanatory from there. And this is an opportunity for you to save some money and try something new from a very credible, highly sourced, you know, trustworthy person that I know, love, and trust. So there you go. And it's time to wrap it up. Thank you all so much for being here. Go ahead and pop some love for Steve into the Q&A box. Thank you, Clarissa, for being here. Even though chat didn't work, we will try to figure that out. We will add all of the links to the replay email. You have them right now in the email I sent during the middle of the webinar. Because I'm magic, my team is magic. And while you're at it and you're doing your shopping, remember that the checkout, it's automatically added at checkout, the coupon, but also think about his new, and we did this one last time, the Holoimmune, which is the combinations of postbiotics, right? For the
paraprobiotics.
Paraprobiotics. Paraprobiotics. And if you don't, like, if you're like me and you're like, huh? Paraprobiotics, very new concept. Watch the previous interview and session I did with Steve. So when you get the replay, you're going to get this, but then you'll also get all of the other sessions I've done with Steve over time, which is a huge, huge body of knowledge. And it's a really, really cool way to like have a library of Steve all the time. Steve on.
Well, hopefully it's helpful, you know.
That's yes, for sure. It is helpful. It is helpful. No, it's totally helpful. I love going directly to the source. Love working with you. Love having you all here. Thank you so much. And we will be working on our next topics and we will see you next month. And also, this is a shout out for all of you who have pain. October is the launch of the Fascia and Chronic Pain Rescue Summit, which I've done with Kelly Kennedy, who some of you may know from the Lymphatic Rescue Summit. And I just am finishing the last two interviews today, Steve. It's so good. Oh my gosh. Cool. Like, really cool information about fascia and the electrical system within your body and muscle pain. Well, so we call it muscle pain, really, but it's actually right. fascia most of the time, and just busting out a lot of myths around it and also really explaining, because most people don't really truly understand what fascia is. And if you're like, Siobhan, I've never even like heard of it. I understand.
Did you guys do any presentations on John Sarno's work?
On John Sarno? Wait, yeah, I know that name because it's similar to my last name.
The tension myositis or tension. There's a concept in back pain as well as other pains where you create psychological tension and hold it in your body. And then between the fascia and the nerves, you restrict blood flow and that pisses the nerves off. Oh. And anyways, pain is fascinating.
It's so so vast and so interesting. But we have Tom Myers and Gil Headley, people who are doing a lot of cadaver work. We have there are some supernovas of fascia, and we have them. We have the upper echelon of these people who have been studying fascia and getting the world out, and worked with Ida Rolf and all these really cool connections, no pun intended. So anyway, just know that there's some hope coming out for you, and I'll wrap it up. Thank you, Steve, so much. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Siobhan. Thanks, everyone.
Bye. Bye-bye. So I'm just going to do one more posting of the links, but remember that, I'm going to pop it into, here you go. I don't do transcripts for these, type answer. Paste, there you go, send. Okay, there's the links one more time. You'll get it in the emails. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up. Bye.
Thanks. See ya.
Thanks, see ya.